Good morning. It is still morning. Just barely. 11:38 a.m. Almost noon. On Sunday, February the 15th, 2015. 2:15:15. It's cold. It's cold. It's overcast. The wind is very raw. It's spitting snow. It's not, you know, it's every once in a while you see a snowflake. It's not like snowing, but it is snowing, just a little tiny bit. So yesterday was Valentine's Day. Friday night was a late night because of child. And then I couldn't go to sleep when we got home, so. Yeah, it was kind of long. And because it was Saturday, I didn't have to get up. And I didn't. I slept. Oh my God, I slept till almost 9 a.m. I needed it. I'm running a sleep deficit, so. I slept in again this morning. It was nearly 8 when I got up this morning. But, yeah, having missed yesterday, it was really a priority for me to get out this morning. The last 2 days I've been riding, working on Cape Grace. I've not broken any speed records, but I'm getting back in the story, which is what I need to do first. Sort of need to ramp up to this bad boy and figure out where it's going to go, how it's going to work. One of the problems I've got is timing, and that the interesting thing that has to happen with Pirano Fisheries happens almost before Sarah is born. Actually, even before Sarah is born. And yet I want this story to be about Sarah. So I either have to find something else to write about in terms of the Pirano theme, or I have to write this in an odd kind of chronological sequence. So I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know what's going to happen. I may write this early Pirano story and put it up as a novella, then find some other crisis for them to face. Later. Quarter of a century later. That's the problem, is that at the end of South Coast, Otto is barely into his middle teens. And at the beginning of Half Share, where Sarah has to come in, she's like 22, 23. So, yeah, that's like 25, 30 years later. And so I've got to have some piece of the pie for Pirano to deal with. That happens 30 years after they do all of the floating city work. So I don't know. It may be that what I need to do is just write Sarah's story and call it good. it may be that there's plenty of stuff there for Sarah's story if I were to actually take it from the beginning. Because there's a lot of stuff there. There's a lot of ideas that I want to explore. The unabashed sexism of the son of the shaman as a shaman, and the fact that the company holds that line very closely because of the contracts they have, they're able to get around it because the commercial contracts aren't bound by any kind of restriction on sexist language. It's a privately held corporation. It has a board of directors, but it's a privately held corporation. The old man is the guy in charge. And the point is they want to have as few shaman as possible, because that means there are fewer non-corporate assets on the planet. And then there's the sort of I can't really prove it aspect of being a shaman. It's really a religion. It's not really magic. It's really a religion. And the question is always going to be, is this real? Or is this Memorex? Is this some sort of odd thing that the people believe in strongly enough that it has an effect? Prayers do get answered in a sense. It's not necessarily a Christian religion, but it is religion. It's always been religion, Nara. It's a matter of faith rather than a matter of magic. And the fact that some of these people, some genetic link, typically male-dominated link, like male pattern baldness, but it's also triggered by some kinds of trauma. So that's an interesting piece. What if we have some boy who's not son of a shaman who starts evincing the gift? That's an interesting idea. Would he get to be shaman, or would he have to leave as well? Or would he just get a job on the ship? Would he just get a job fishing? Would he marry a fisherman and stay on planet as a stay-at-home dad or something? That's an interesting piece. I might have to play with that a little bit. I was trying to keep the shape of the story parallel to South Coast, but the reality is I don't think I can. I don't think I need to, and I really don't know if I really want to. Eastward turn here. There's no sun. I mean, there is sun. There's a faintly brighter spot in the gray overcast up there, but there's nothing comforting about it. So we're just going to bowl through. I'm walking relatively quickly because I'm cold. I've had some breakfast, but I want some lunch. I don't know what I'm going to get for lunch because I'm not sure what we got left. I may have to go to the grocery store this afternoon, which is going to eat into my riding time, but be that as it may. I may just order pizza for dinner and call it good. We went out yesterday. I figured, well, it's Valentine's Day. Everybody's going to be really busy, but if we go early, monk post, if we go early, we might get in. Yeah. First four places we went, it lines out the door. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, way too early for dinner, way too late for lunch. Yet, most of the restaurants in town were booked. We wound up going to a breakfast place. And had fish and chips. It was really quite mediocre. But it was a dinner. It was a dinner out with the fam. We had a good time. Much giggles. And we always have fun when we go out with the fam. And there's no school tomorrow. So I don't have to get up early tomorrow either. And I don't have therapy tomorrow. So I should be able to get my walk in. The question is whether or not I will get my walk in time. Because without the benefit of having to have my boots on and get out into the cold weather to drive the kid to school, getting myself moving just for the sake of taking the walk is something a bit problematic. So as President's Day, I also can't go to the bank and I can't go to the post office, which is my normal two back office efforts. I really need to get those books weighed out so that I can get them mailed to the people that I've promised them to, and I'll see where I am in terms of having extra copies left over. Yeah, okay. Off we go. Here we are. No, not anything different. I'm just hiking along. I'm still sort of wrestling with this story, and I think the problem is that I'm thinking about it too much and writing too little. And what I need to do is write the story and let the story happen the way it needs to happen. I mean, looking into the, I was doing a lot of research into the floating concrete cities. There's a lot of really interesting stuff I could do with that. Doesn't have anything to do with how this all shakes out. Doesn't have anything to do with Sarah Krug. And it happens, it has to be resolved largely well before Sarah Krug is in the picture. Now there is, as I'm walking along, it occurs to me, there is a possibility. There is a possibility that 30 years on, there could be something wrong with the cities, something wrong with the floating platforms. Jimmy's going to be 30 years older. And his sister, who is 10 years older than him anyway, is already going to be... pushing up there. I don't know if this could work. This could work indeed. Yeah. I like it. I like the early stuff too. I may have to write it all and just see which pieces of it go together. It'd probably be faster to write it and then sort out the bits that don't work. Maybe save some of it for an introductory novella or a 99-cent Tales from the Dark Side. Oh, and there's so much good stuff coming to the Dark Side, too. I had this idea that it was just going to be sort of rebel-held territory, that it was going to be people who had money but not the backing of the Confederated Planets. And the more I think about it, the more I think, no, I think this needs to be Confederated Planet Joint Committee on Development or something. Because it's focused on developing these assets and not trade across established assets. So maybe it'll be, maybe that'll make more sense. I have to think about that a little bit. Let that percolate in my brain. May have to start another character.
How you doing?
Good morning. The Machiavelli Jones story I wrote for Saturday Scenes a while back, the Lester Dent story. It works, it's a story, it's an adventure. It's not really the kind of story I would write. Because it is so strictly formula, it is so formulaic, it is so many words here, so many words there. You have to have a transition point here. I rolled dice to figure out what the obstacles are going to be. I mean, it was very, very mechanical. And the prose came across sort of mechanistic. I keep going back to it thinking, there's some bones here. There's a story about a guy who's going to rescue his sister, but she winds up rescuing him, which is okay. I'm good with that. The turning the rescued damsel idea on its head. I'm good with that. That's a nice twist. But there's not enough meat in it. Dan Sawyer said there's not enough soul in it. Not enough heart. So I gotta work on that. I can think about that. But it did set up a lot of interesting ideas about what the Dark Side might be like, so we'll be visiting some of those. At any rate, get my glove off so I can push buttons. I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day, 11:57. And they do, no walk. 21 minutes, okay, well, close enough. 21 minutes a mile. So 37 minutes total. Still under 20, I'll take it. Still under 19. Regardless of what this other thing says, still under 19. Okay, well, on that note, let me find the recorder. So that I can say tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.